Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are on episode 3, where we are going to be talking about the Northwind Highlanders. Super excited today to have our wonderful guest host, and it is he is co-host of the On the Origin of BattleMech podcast. Brent, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Just, enjoying this lovely Sunday recording with a fellow content creator in the BattleTech community talking about my favorite mercenary company. How can I complain?
You can't, really. You really can't. Brent, well, and I guess I should also say my name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG. I'm your host here on the Mercenary Star Podcast, where we talk about the mercenary units, the storied units from the BattleTech universe that are being highlighted in the upcoming Mercenaries Kickstarter. And we're super excited about that. In fact, just a few days ago, Brent, that Kickstarter went live from Adepticon, and it is killing it right now. It is at like $4.5 million approximately.
It's crazy. It has exceeded expectations.
It definitely has. I am super excited about it. And I'm going to actually probably do a little bit more on that later. I think I might do a little highlight video of it myself. So tell me, though, as we're getting into it, why are the Northwind Highlanders your favorite mercenary unit?
Well, my dad is a steward and my mom is a McDonald's, so I'm contractually obligated to stand for them. And
that's fantastic.
But that's awesome. Reading all of the books, I mean, naturally, the mercenaries are generally highlighted in a positive light, and you are supposed to empathize with them because they are usually the protagonists. And
yes,
I enjoyed the Highlander books, both narratively and the characters, and because of my, family background, I was just like, I can easily project onto this.
Yeah, absolutely. The Highlanders, we'll talk about it later, but they've always had that high moral,
yes,
sense amongst their characters and what they stood for. And so, yeah, definitely fun to empathize with, mm-hmm, in the fiction. So they're fantastic. I also I am not of Clan Stewart, but I also do have Scottish ancestry, so I, while they're not quite my favorite, they are right there with my favorite. And so I have loved them since the beginning as well.
I mean, if you look at how genealogy and genetics work, most of the population of England is technically nobles. So if you got some Scottish heritage, you're one of us. It's fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's dive into talking about them today. I'm going to slide us over to our presentation. Also, too, if you're joining us on the YouTube channel, thank you. We'd love to have you like and subscribe. I hate to say that. It feels so dirty, but it would be helpful and appreciated. Also, if you are not watching on YouTube and you're listening to the podcast, go check us out on YouTube. thank you for your support, no matter what. All right, let's go over to our presentation here.
And give a positive rating, yes, on all your podcast platforms, because that helps in the search algorithms.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we'll have some shout outs at the end for Brent's podcast, because it is top notch and you need to go check it out as well. All right.
Thank you.
So
thank you so much for saying you do fantastic show yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. It's what they're here for, right? Just to hear us compliment each other.
Yes, that's the entire point of the podcast industry, to inflate our own egos.
Yes, 100%. All right, so a little bit about the Northwind Highlanders. They They were founded in the BattleTech universe in the year 2362. They were founded by Clan Stewart. Okay, so you know, hence Brent's you know, familial tie-in.
Different spelling, but you know, you just got to go back a little bit further than you would expect.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, they were a Scottish group with ancestry going back to Scotland on Terra, and they colonized the planet of Northwind, which we'll talk about that more in a minute. But yeah, that's a brief snippet of their origin. As far as their logo is the awesome plaid tartan shield with a sword over it. How can you not like that? I'm just saying, it's pretty amazing. But yeah, so it's
very
really cool.
Clearly makes a statement.
Very clearly is like, we're Scottish. Also, I love that they put it on their mechs. It doesn't matter. Like, from what I can tell, their paint schemes are pretty much whatever they want. They just have to have the Tartan on it.
So I mean, the fun fact there is generally you'll have the quote unquote regular is just the olive drab. But of course they'll do the camos when they're in the field and that sort of thing. But regardless of that, one part of an appendage, like, you know, the upper arm, the lower arm, the shin or what have you, there is some section of the mech that is painted in a tartan, and it is the tartan of the pilot.
Even better, which is fantastic. All in the family. But yeah, so they first appeared in the BattleTech fiction in 1988 in the Warrior Riposte book, which is the second book in the Warrior trilogy. So I think that was about the fifth book out in the BattleTech fiction. Because you had two Grey Death.
Yeah.
You had two Grey Death. You had
Sword and Dagger.
And then you had the first Warrior book. And then you
so
had
it would
third,
be the sixth.
Yeah. And then you had the third Grey Death. And then you had the second Warrior book. So yeah, six. I think six. So from the beginning, which is great.
Yeah.
In that book, the Warrior trilogy, I just reread it again because I like to reread those old novels. It's fantastic. They first appeared as the first Kearney, and they were returning home to the planet Northwind when Hans Davion hires them away from the Capellan Confederation, promising them their ancestral home of Northwind in exchange for their service with the Federated Sons during the Fourth Succession War.
Yes.
So they returned home just in time to kick out the House Caryta forces who had invaded, which was pretty awesome.
Very rude of them.
Very, very rude. You should never invade. Just kidding. That's what makes BattleTech BattleTech.
Yeah.
Invade. Invade everywhere.
There's a reason it's called BattleTech and right. Not Peace Tech.
That's right. But yeah. Also, fun fact, the Northern Highlanders, they predated the original Star League. So they formed themselves as a unit before the Star League was founded. They gained notoriety and were an independent world until the Star League, until they joined the Star League. And then later became one of the SLDF's most respected units with the Royal Black Watch, which were the personal guard of the Star League First Lord, selecting a lot of their members from the Northwind Highlanders.
So, quick point of clarification there.
Yes.
They were part of the Terran hegemony,
there you go.
Which, of course, predates the Star League, which, you know, right. Kind of supplanted the Terran. Terran hegemony leveled up into the Star League.
Yeah, exactly.
And the mercenaries founded during the Age of War when the Northland was still part of the Terran hegemony. And the thing is that Northwind had always had they were always a Terran hegemony planet, but they had a independent-ish or like, you know, What's I'm looking for the right term. Like they were, independent in the sense that they were doing their own thing, but they paid homage to the
Yes.
hegemony.
And that totally makes sense because even when they, as we look at their history later, even when they work for other successor states, and later the Republic of the Sphere, they still retain a level of independence with whether it's just a particular unit, kind of still being a mercenary unit, but yeah, so very,
And
very
actually,
staunchly
when you,
independent.
yes, and actually, when you dive into the fiction of the particular units when they have the diaspora, there's bits and pieces about, like each of them kind of taking actions to make sure that they don't acclimatize too much to where they are working.
Yes, that I mean that makes sense. They want to
Yeah.
keep it in the family. So, yeah. All right. So there are, I believe, unless you know of any others, 11 pieces of fiction that are primarily about the Highlanders. They're in some others. Like I said, I didn't actually list the warrior books because they're mentioned in there, but it's less than a paragraph.
They are not the focus.
They are not the focus. And so the first book that is the focus of them is Highlander's Gambit by Blaine Lee Pardo in 1995. And that was essentially when they was
Got
that
fleshed out.
yeah, kind of. but yeah, that's when Lauren Jaffery went, right?
I
Or am I getting it
believe.
reversed? Yeah, that's when Lauren Jaffrey went and joined up as a death commando from the Capellan Confederation and basically went to try to steal them away or destroy them from the Federated Sons because
There's some
House of the
backstory
Owl,
there.
yes, House of the Owl was not happy when they left the Capellan Confederation. But yeah, so Highlander's Gambit, Impetus
We
of
could
War.
call it a not amicable breakup.
It was not. No, it was definitely not. Impetus of War by Blaine Lee Pardo in 1996. A Silence in the Heavens, which was the first book of a trilogy in the Dark Age books, or was it the MechWarrior books technically? Or were they MechWarrior Dark Age? I don't remember when they made the distinction. You cut out.
Push to top right. There's six MechWarrior books before they jump to the Dark Ages, and
Okay.
those are not those ones. So these are part of the
The
Dark
Mech
Age
Warrior. Oh,
MechWarrior
okay. Yeah.
era. Yeah.
So there's Silence in the Heavens, Truth and Shadow, and Service for the Dead, which are called the Proving Ground Trilogy. They're written by Martin Del Rio, and they all came out in 2003, across that year. Which during that time, I remember they were putting out books about once a
At least a
month.
quarter. At least a
Yeah, it
quarter.
was definitely at least a quarter, but I feel like for a while even it was about once a month. If we had a month that they didn't put out a novel, it was rare.
Yeah.
In the late 90s and early 2000s. Then we had Blood of the Isle by Lauren Coleman in 2004. And that was let's see. That was the kind of the last of the so it's most of these books are in the Dark Age era, but I think those are the books that were in the MechWarrior
There's the
Dark Age
WizKid
novel,
era
the
and then the
WizKid era,
Catalyst
yes.
era.
So then we skip 16 years until we get another book.
Ow, my back.
Yeah. And we go from Blood of Isle, that was 2004 by Lauren Coleman. Then we go to the Grey Watch Protocol, which we'll talk about in a minute. It's the Highlander Covenant number 1 by Michael J. Saravella, and that came out in 2020. Fantastic to get to see him on the stream for the Adepticon Kickstarter launch, by the way.
Yes.
Really, really liked hearing from him. and just hearing him talk, he should definitely narrate some of his own books because he has a great voice for a podcast. So if you listen, sir, I'd love to hear these two books especially. So but yeah, Great Watch Protocol, fantastic book. Rock of the Republic, which isn't primarily about them, but they do play a large
they are one of the major
parts of the
coalition forces. Yes, I'll say.
Yes. Then our and that was Blaine Lee Pardoe in 2020. Then we had Hour of the Wolf, which was like the defining Ill Clan novel to start the new era.
It was the transition novel between the Dark Ages to the Ill Clan era.
Absolutely. And so Blaine Lee Pardoe wrote that, and it came out in 2021. And then we had Paid in Blood, which was Highlander Covenant book number 2 by Michael J. Saravella, 2021. And
which came out after Hour of the Wolf, but actually takes place.
Yes.
Technically in the middle of Hour of the Wolf.
Yes, exactly. And then we had a unit digest in Shrapnel come out about the first Kearney Highlanders. That was Shrapnel number 11 in 2022. And so I have barely looked at that myself, just because I'm a little behind on my reading as I've been trying to get some of this other stuff.
I love shame.
The plastic pile of shame is massive. I still have stuff from the last Kickstarter. But
yes, that's not what we're here to talk about. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but yeah, so that's a little bit about the novels that we had here. I have
your recommended
reading list for the Northwind Highlanders. There's a lot, and frankly, they're all fantastic. If you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify, because you can watch the video podcast there as well, then you can also see these amazing pieces of art from the original books. The first one is of the Highlanders, of the Royal Black Watch. That's from Highlander's Gambit. Loved that picture. And that's a good image of the mechs, the Highlander mech with the Spartan, with the tartan on it. So I love it. And then there's also some fantastic 80s art, which is funny that they put in here a soldier playing the bagpipes, which the Highlanders are known to make an entrance with bagpipes. It's the
bagpipes intensify.
That's right. It is the signal jamming of choice for the Northwind Highlanders.
We'll throw shade at the 80s art uniforms for the Highlanders.
Yeah,
but that is the same amount of shade that we're going to throw at every single one of the original sourcebook runs, because they're all quintessentially 80s, you know.
I kind of love it though, I'm not going to lie.
It's an observation, it's not a complaint.
Yes. And then the fantastic dress uniform of a Highlander nurse, apparently.
Yes.
Which is, again, it's like a, she kind of looks like she's stepping off the prairie with the plaid sash there going off. Mm-hmm. She's in that like full dress, but hey, I wouldn't put it past a Highlander in a dress. So, I mean, you know,
there you go.
Most of the guys are wearing, you know, kilts as well anyway, right? So I think they're all pretty capable no matter what they're wearing.
Now, do you know the rule about kilts and undergarments?
Not specifically, no. I don't have one myself.
So the rule is, if a king sits on the throne of Scotland, then you do not wear an undergarment, and if a queen does, you do.
Interesting. Okay, you heard it here, folks. If there's a king of Scotland, now you know. Or queen.
Whoever sits on the throne of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
And you may be wondering, where is the throne of Scotland? Well, it's in the throne of the British, because they stole it and literally built it into their throne.
Well, there you go.
Real facts, real history, people.
Nice. Which is also why Battletech's so great, because it's there's a lot of, you know, history in our future sci-fi history here.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Highlanders quite literally draw from the rural
Highlanders of
Highlanders
Scotland,
of yore, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, it's not a one-to-one. There is some artistic inspiration and liberties because things, but it's sure. Nice to be able to draw that line. And in fact, one of the things that makes the Highlanders so interesting is that they keep that oral tradition of their history going. That is one of their cultural touchstones in the both the units and Northwind itself.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's talk a little bit. Let's give just a brief unit summary. Also, too, if you are a fan of the Northwind Highlanders, you should definitely check out some of the other amazing Battletech podcasts in the universe who have covered them as well. I know, Brent, you said you've covered them a little bit. The Valhalla podcast, the Valhalla Club podcast, just did their highlight of the Northwind Highlanders. Definitely check them out. And then I know there's some other players on YouTube. Mechfrog, who was our first guest, I know just he's been going through the mercenary companies as well. And so definitely check them out as well. All right, so the Northwind Highlanders. Like we said, their ancestry goes back to Scotland of Tara. There's one of the longest lived and as well as one of the largest mercenary units within the Inner Sphere. The Highlanders were founded in 2362 as the first Carney Highlanders by Clan Stewart, and they colonized the planet Northwind. I do like how they said, because it was a nice planet, like basically, you know, the weather
it
was
reminded
nice.
Them of the lovely rolling hills of their Scottish homeland.
Exactly.
It was also happening to be mineral rich. Yes. Aw, darn.
You know. But yeah, so they're, like I said, their fame spread throughout the Inner Sphere, even before the creation of the Star League, you know, as part of the Terran hegemony. After the fall of the Star League, we mentioned in the Star League, they were, you know, an elite unit within that, but they also many of their members would be part of the Royal Black Watch. After the fall of the Star League, the Highlanders earned the reputation as elite mercenaries and would accept contract with the Capellan Confederation in the early years of the Succession Wars, and then would remain under service with them for most of the Succession Wars until the Fourth Succession War, when Hans Davion offered their ancestral planet of Northwind, which he had which the Federated Sons had conquered very early on.
They had held it since, I believe, the end of the Second Succession War.
Yes. So, you know, a long time. Like, no one alive had been back, basically. They kicked off the Fourth Succession War and left the service of House Liao. Later, they did gain their independence. Like I said, that was Highlander's Gambit, where Lauren Jeffrey, who was a death commando from the Capellan Confederation, came with the intent to destroy the Highlanders, but then he kind of ended up joining them.
Mixed results.
Yeah, he didn't destroy them. He ended up joining them because he was sent because his ancestry was from Northwind. And but he did remove them as part of the tools in the Federated Sons tool belt. And so that was also a positive for the Capellans at the time. But they did, that was in 3057, but they did contribute to Task Force Serpent later on as part of the renewed Star League Defense Force as they went to Huntress in the Clan Homeworlds. They also, later in 3066, joined Jamie Wolf and the Wolf Dragoons. What was it? Allied Mercenary Command, in order to help stop the Word of Blake expansion. And then they eventually joined the Republic of the Spheres, RAF, Armed Forces of the Republic, through negotiations. But they, like I said, they still maintained a certain level of independence, and the 1st Kearney Regiment would still take contracts as mercenaries to kind of keep their reputation as elite mercenaries in the Inner Sphere and carry on that tradition. So, but as we move into the Ilclan era and the end of the Dark Age, we do get the two books which kind of transition us, and that's Greywatch Protocol and Paid in Blood. Brent, give us a little highlight of those, and what's like a favorite part?
Oh, favorite part is difficult because
Put
there's
you on the
lots
spot.
of really good moments in that book, but or books, I should say. But overall, they cover the transition and the like identity crisis, I think you could say, of the Highlanders switching from a Republic unit to a independent unit, or at least setting the stage for that. And one of the ways they illustrate this and have it as kind of like a backdrop or through line or throwback to the old battle tech of yore is that they have the Greywatch Protocol activate, which of course is the namesake of the first book and is a auxiliary unit that comes in and is activated just in time for narrative purposes when Northwind is threatened by the Capellans because well it has one of the few remaining HBG networks or
Yes,
stations.
after the events of Grey Monday,
Yeah.
which the whole premise of the Grey Watch Protocol, because obviously it's the title of the book, and you start reading, you're like, "What is the Grey Watch Protocol? I don't know."
And for
you
a
know,
significant chunk of it, you're just like, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
right. But you know, and. You know, there's a whole lot of things within BattleTech history that you're like, is it a good thing? Because, you know, you've got the Black Watch, which is a very positive thing. I'm like, could it be that? Or is it Grey Watch because of Grey Monday? You know, and it could be a completely separate faction or like a subversive faction, even. Excuse me. But,
The fact that the Highlanders have a long-standing tie to the Capellans, and you know, the fact that
yes.
we have also individuals who have joined them who were Death Commandos, you know, like there's that, like there's ways that this long-standing quote-unquote family can have been infiltrated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And after going through the Jihad and the Dark Ages in BattleTech, where you had the Word of Blake, who were so infiltrated into Comstar and other houses within the Inner Sphere, I was really hoping and then really glad that it was not the case. When we did find out what it was, and spoilers if you don't want to know, but we're gonna say a little bit because that's definitely my favorite part is when all the Grey Watch mechs start coming out of the woodworks, because they would keep an almost what regiment or was it a battalion? I think it was a
I can't,
regiment.
you're putting me on the spot, but I think so, but it's definitely one of that situations where I absolutely believe they were able to scrounge up that kind of
Oh, yeah.
tech and hide it because of
Yeah.
A, the planet, B, the population and their culture, and see sort of spoils for Paid in Blood, how the Highlanders were folded into the Republic gave them a lot of, we'll say, positions of authority and oversight.
Yeah, absolutely. Where they could have hidden it. So. But I love it. I love that that's what came of it. I also love that they weren't just like, oh, they're all brand new mechs. Like, no, these are old mechs. They mothballed them away a long time ago, but they weren't, you know, if somebody needed to have a secret army, you know, the Highlanders with their moral, you know, high ground was a great group to have it, and
There's
especially come
a
in with
good
it, so.
during the novels, there's a good couple times that they kind of lampshade that quite nicely, where the protagonist has a conversation with a family member and they talk about how his machine had ER PPCs when he was an active member and how they got swapped out for
I
regular
love that.
PPCs. And, you know, that's a good way to shuffle the paperwork, make things, you know, disappear, that sort of stuff. And I mean, just in general, have you tried to take stuff from the Scottish people? It doesn't work out so well.
Yeah, exactly. They make movies about it all the time.
They've made more than one.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so you know, that was kind of the that anything else you want to mention from Paid in Blood?
There's some interesting stuff that sets up Northwind and the Highlanders in the future of the Ill Clan going forward, both on planet and in other parts of the fiction, because there are other things that happen in Hour of the Wolf that will affect the Highlanders in general.
Yes.
But in it's going to be interesting because there's a little bit of a shell game going on, and like we said, Grey Monday is a thing, and they have an HBG network, and things happen. You'll have to read the books to find out what actually happens. You know, ha ha ha,
Yeah.
no spoilers.
Haha.
But it's going to be interesting, and I look forward to the next installments in their story.
I do too. I do too. All right. Well, with that, if you're watching the video podcast, the image on screen is newly released, actually. It was given to Kickstarter backers as a beautiful wallpaper of the Northern Highlanders fighting against those pesky Jade Falcons. And I really do love this image. It's fantastic. However, that's not the only image we have of them. This one isn't quite as good because it was a picture that was scanned off of the box of the Alpha Strike box. But the Alpha Strike box also, if you didn't know, has the Northwind Highlanders facing off against the Jade Falcons. That's kind of the story premise of that box set. So there's pilot cards and the mechs in there, the Wraith and the Pouncer, both fantastic mechs. But yeah, so definitely check that out if you haven't as well. And
Yes.
then, what? Yeah, do you have any comments on the Alpha Strike box?
I it looks great and I want one.
Oh yeah, you need to get one as soon as you can. I know it's maybe a little harder for you, but
Canadians being Canadian problems, right?
right, exactly. But yeah, also too, we have the awesome dun, 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 Northwind Highlanders Command Lance Force Pack, and so that is a. I'll have it up on the screen there if you're watching the video. But there's, you know, the four mechs in there are pretty awesome. We've got a jumping Highlander with
Making
a.
good use of that jump three.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks really good in the box set. Kata Jeffrey is the Highlanders pilot in there. And she's from Ill Clan era. She's from 3150, I believe. And then we have a Warhammer, which is, I believe, a new sculpt of the Warhammer. And it is Sandra McPierce, who is a 3029 pilot who,
Fourth Succession
yeah,
War.
she's the one that like leads him in that first mention, actually. I think she's the one who answers him on the comms in the Warrior novel, when they're like, "What's that screeching noise?" And it's the bagpipes playing, and she's like, "That's the sound of us coming home." I think that's her. I could be wrong, but
I'm terrible at names, so do not ask me to confirm.
I mean, she's the only one named. So,
Yeah.
there's a grasshopper, with Eofy Chalmers, and honestly, I am not sure where she is in the fiction. And
To be determined.
to be determined. Yes, I'll leave that to you, the viewers and listeners, to go research. But it's a really cool
Or
sculpt,
write
the
a
grasshopper.
campaign.
Yes. And then there's the new sculpt for this box is the Cerberus, which is a fantastic mech. And the Highlander pilot for that is Elish Sharma. And yeah, that's I'm the, I really do like the new sculpt for this. It looks fantastic. like I said, there's images on the screen there. I was very fortunate to get this from Fortress Games and Miniatures. And if you are looking for a place to pick up some incredible BattleTech products, I highly recommend them. Fortress Games and Fortress Miniatures and Games, excuse me. Fortress Miniatures and Games.com is the place to check out if you're looking at the video. There's a the link there. It'll also be in the show notes, and you should definitely check them out. They are our amazing sponsor for the show, and look forward to working with them more in the future. But let me show you these minis just a little bit closer here, because why not? Do you know which one of these is the? So I know in all these force packs they have the brand new mech, the jumping mech, the
The
resculpt,
resculpt.
and a variant. I'm trying to remember which one of the grasshopper and which one of the. Oh, you know what? I'm pretty sure the
I want
Warhammer
to
is the
say it's a.
variant.
Yeah, I was going
Warhammer
to
is the
say.
variant because if you look at it here,
Yeah,
it
I was going to
has
say, I think the
two missile
Warhammer is the.
launchers. Come
Two
on,
missile
focus
launches
on.
instead of one spotlight.
Yeah, instead, see if you can focus in on the camera, but I don't know if I can.
It's almost there. I think you got it, 'cause you can see the two little pips for the
Oh,
missile
turn.
heads.
It's always, yeah. So, come on. There we go. Not quite. It's close.
I
It's
think you're
horrible.
good.
The audience gets it. Those listening at home, they don't know what we're doing. We're showing it on the screen. But yeah, and then the grasshopper. So then the grasshopper is a resculpt. It looks really good, honestly. The jumping Highlander, man,
I
this
mean, the
thing is a
Grasshopper in
beast.
general is a good-looking mech. It's got some personality.
Oh yeah. It was too spindly with the old art for my taste, but I do like the new one.
Fair.
So this
And then the
jump
jumpy
plume,
boy.
oh my gosh, look at that. It's so awesome. And these do come off of the jump plume, so that way you can, and this one comes off as well because of
Nice.
this weird, way that the feet are,
The foot angle.
the foot angle. There is this awesome piece in it for the base, and it is
Oh,
a
like debris to stand on.
debris to stand on. It is a smashed urban
Irby.
mech. It is a
Nice.
smashed urban mech. And you know that this Highlander jumped on top of it. That's what happened.
Yes, it
That is
gave it a
absolutely
Highlander
the
burial.
Highlander burial. Absolutely. So, classic Highlander
Also,
move.
appreciate the attention to detail that the Highlander jumping has three ports of jump
Yes,
jets, and
yes.
the Highlander, of course, has three jump jets for a jump of three.
Yes. So that's pretty fantastic as well. Yeah, I just love that it was this urban mech because I'm not a fan of the urban mech necessarily, but
I appreciate the urban mech. I like it. I think the community has taken the meme a little far, but that's my personal opinion.
I would agree. I would agree. And this is Cerberus.
I'm not
So,
going to yuck anyone's yum if you enjoy it. I just, a little more diversity in the memes, please.
yeah. But yeah, so that's the Northwind Highlanders Command Lance. And it's a fantastic box set. So, real quick, we're gonna wrap things up, but Brent, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Well,
It's
thank
been
you for having
fantastic
me.
to get to chat with you as I finished setting
Yes.
up. Also, apologies that this took so long to get out, but I was sick for over a week, so that was also a problem. But we are back. We are back in the grind. Hopefully, audio sounds good and a lot better than last time. Pretty sure it does. I tested it out. But yeah, once again, thank you all for watching us. Brent, where can the fine peoples find you?
The people can find me on all your major podcast platforms or providers. We are on the Origin of BattleMechs podcast, and you can also find us on YouTube by that name. We also have
Absolutely.
a spin-off show, which is Armor Up, done by my fantastic co-host and pillar of the community, Chandler. He does basically the same thing, which is what we do at our on the Origin is we started at the beginning with the mechs and have moved forward, and he's doing the vehicles and moving forward on that.
Yeah. And I love both of those shows. They're fantastic. I like there's so many, it's sometimes it's hard to keep up, but seriously, you guys do a fantastic job.
Thank you so much.
I also appreciate that the attention to detail in the research you guys do. You guys do a ton of research. And so props to you both, all
I may
included.
or may not hyper focus on lore about the things I enjoy, and this is an outlet for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, we cover not only the machines, but then we have like a little section about the lore, how that machine is attached to a specific house, so we cover that house's lore or factions
Yeah.
stuff or what have you. And then we also, like cover the notable pilots and that sort of stuff. So, it is a resource for not only learning about the machine to play on the
Yeah.
table, but also learning about the
It's kind of an
universe as a whole.
audible an audio TRO, if you will.
That's not a bad elevator pitch.
I like that. There you go. You're welcome.
I might steal that, yeah.
Steal it by all means. By all means. yeah. If you ever need another spin-off, here's another idea for you. You can do it over all the new weapon systems. Because there's a lot of those. And especially once you get past intro tech, I know those of us who left BattleTech for a while and came back had to start learning all these new systems.
What is this
So,
heavy laser?
yes. What is this
What is
MRM?
this? What is a hag?
What is a rack? What is a rack 20 and why doesn't it exist?
Ooh, that would be terrifying.
I'm just kidding. I know Chandler would want that, but okay. Well, thank you again for joining us. And thank you to the listeners and viewers out there. Like I said, give us a subscribe and a like and a rating on your podcast platform of choice. You can watch the video podcast on our YouTube or on Spotify, and you can listen to the episodes on everywhere else that you can find podcasts. If you need a direct RSS feed, I can also point you in the direction of that. It's usually on the main podcast page. But once again, Brent, thank you, and look forward to doing this again sometime. Maybe we'll find.
Indeed.
We'll find
I'm
a lot
now
of
that I've been over here,
units.
I gotta have you over on our show. We'll
Absolutely.
Figure it out. You know, the
sometime.
Cross-pollination, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Also, and if anybody wishes to engage with the On the Origin community, we have a Discord. I'm assuming link will be in the doobly-doo.
It will.
And yeah, we'd love to have a chat about mechs and what have you, or just
absolutely
life in general, because, you know, community, we.
Community's great, you know. Definitely. That will definitely be in the show notes and podcast notes as well. Also, you can find myself and the Mercenary Star podcast on Twitter. We recently also got an Instagram. Mm. So we're branching out there. And YouTube as well under Mercenary Star Podcast. Twitter actually is Merc Star Podcast because Mercenary Star Podcast was too long. But again, those will all be linked in the show notes. Again, thank you for joining us. Hope you have a good rest of your week, and look forward to chatting with you all later. See ya.
Class dismissed. Everybody have a great day.